We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
While it would be great to trade up, that may not be an offer that is doable. The process of elimination led me to Marcus Mariota.
John knows what he's doing. John's a smart guy.
Dale Arnold.
I would be stunned. I would be gobsmacked if Boston came out of the East.
Oh, boy.
Rich Keith.
We tend to overpass a little bit. You know, I get tired of the new lines. I mean, you're a hockey player. You're in a good spot. You shoot the puck.
Finish the puck.
Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
That Fitzy with you this morning?
I'm Batman.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens is in the house with us. We're talking Patriots quarterbacks or potential quarterbacks. I'm not sure if I recommend that you read Ryan Hannibal's piece on WEEI.com because I think it will excite you, or if I think it will aggravate you. I think it might give you some clickbaits here.
Is it dangerous?
The headline is Patriots options at quarterback. Realistic, long shots, and no chance.
Okay, so breaking it down. Three categories.
So let's
wrap my head around that.
Let's start with the no chance because I agree with him on all of these. The
Otto Graham.
No chance, yeah. No chance. Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Zach Wilson. No chance at any of those, and I agree with him.
You don't think there's any chance on Dak Prescott?
I don't.
They could, couldn't they?
I don't think Jimmy's going to let him go. Jerry's going to let him go. I don't think so.
He might not have a choice.
Yeah, it's his. I don't think they're going to franchise him again.
I don't think they could.
Him.
Right?
Belichick could throw a bag at him.
They could
throw the bag at him.
I don't. So again, the three categories again were no chance,
realistic,
long shots,
and no chance.
I would put Dak in long shot. I don't think it happens because I don't know if they spend that kind of money, but he's a good quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback, and it would just cost a lot of money. I know he's coming off an injury too, but guess what the Patriots have is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It would go against a lot of the ways that they have built teams in the past, but they've also always had a quarterback. So I don't think he's no chance.
I think he's close. And Michael Irvin, who's obviously much tighter with the Cowboys situation than any of us, said there's no way Jerry lets him go. That he will get a contract done with him, and you know that Dak's going to stay there.
But take your quarterback to this point, like that's a bold strategy, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks get franchised like this, and then you know, you already paid the running back, you paid the wide receiver, and then you're stringing him out like that? And some of the comments that Jerry has made too, like I don't know, I think Michael is kind of hoping that happens. I don't know if it necessarily does.
Why haven't they signed him up at this point?
That's my point. He's still sitting there.
Like are they waiting to see how the rehab went?
All right, so let's say that it's what we think that you know he wants $40 million a year, which was the. You think Bill Belichick's going to give him $40 million a year?
I do.
No chance.
Probably not. But again, he could. He could. He has the money.
I mean, is it physically possible for him to give it? Yes.
Yes.
Is it realistic? Not a chance.
Well, yeah,
if that's the reason why he hasn't signed with Dallas, and that's what we think is the case, that he's overvalued himself.
But I also feel like how the Patriots have done things in the past can only really help you so much when trying to determine what they're going to do now because they've always had a quarterback. Like, doesn't that change things? Or at least it should.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always had Tom Brady. So whether he was making a big chunk or a little chunk of your salary cap, the most important position you had covered. You were all set. And now that you don't, like, I don't know, maybe you do go crazy. I'm with you. I'm with you guys. I don't think it happens, but I wouldn't rule it out as quickly as Hannibal did.
All right, so let's run through some of what Hannibal calls long shots and see if you guys agree with these. Derek Carr. He thinks it's a long shot.
I think it's possible.
Yeah,
sure.
Long shot, but possible. Now, he's got Sam Darnold in the long shot category.
Maybe just because of the Jets?
Yes. He said, yeah. Whether or not Darnold is ultimately traded by the Jets remains to be seen, and if he does, it seems hard to envision the Jets trading him within the division.
Yeah.
Probably so.
I think probably so. And doesn't it make sense? Like, if they are the team that's involved with Watson, that they would send him down there, and Sam Darnold's now the Houston starter. Like, I feel like there's still a chance that that deal happens. So, yeah, I would say long shot makes sense
for a year to see if they want him. And by the way, one big caveat to all of this, Dale, ooh, is like with like the other day, Phil Perry put out the mock draft and said he could see the Patriots maybe making a crazy deal to get up to the number four spot to pick Zach Wilson, who Ryan Hannibal just said has no chance, not even a long shot for the Patriots. It's what someone is worth to someone is far more than just trade evaluation chart. It's relative. Sam Darnold might be worth a second or a third to San Francisco, but they would definitely charge more New England because they have to face him twice a year. So you have to always consider where they're going as part of what somebody would pay for it as well.
All right, let's go further down the long shot category. He's got Justin Fields. He points out some draft analysts have Fields falling, but it's hard to imagine him falling within range for the Patriots, especially number 15 overall. They could trade up to get him, but
yeah,
still a long shot. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, probably a long shot. Although the draft is fascinating because there's a million different mock drafts, and every year some of them are just so wrong, right? Like, there's quarterbacks that fall. I mean, if you want to go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers, there's a chance he was the number one overall. He falls into the 20s. Like, there are times where, even last year, I think with all the different ones that came out, did you think Jordan Love would be available when the Patriots were picking? I didn't. I thought he was going to go higher. I thought quarterbacks always get overdrafted. And yet, lo and behold, he's there. So Justin Fields could fall. This is a draft that has, I think, at least three wide receivers that are going to make an impact immediately, a tight end that's going to make an impact immediately, a linebacker that is a game changer, a couple
offensive linemen.
Yeah, a couple of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Fields falls to 15, but the Patriots' chances of trading up from 15 to 10 versus 15 to 5
right,
is a whole lot easier. So I based on the mock draft,
well,
I guess it's a long shot. But
yeah, no,
it does sound like he's going to be the third quarterback taken and not the second like it was all football season long. It seems like Wilson, by almost all accounts, has jumped over him.
It's a shock that he has, too. It's amazing. Yeah.
He's got Trey Lance in the same category, the long shot category. And for the exact same reasons. Outside chance they could go all in, move up, select him. More likely scenario, according to what is written here,
yeah,
the more likely scenario is that, you know, he's on the clock long before they get anywhere close.
Yeah, I guess for Lance and Fields, I would probably have like a fourth category that is in between long shot and realistic. Because long shot sounds like, so much needs to happen. Like, I think they might only need to trade up a couple of spots for one of those guys. Like, if I told you Trey Lance was the 13th pick in the draft, would that absolutely floor you? No. And that's the Patriots trading up two spots to get him. Like, I think that could definitely – Trey Lance is the guy, he could maybe go as high as 4, or maybe he's even there at 15. Like, he played one game this year, and he played in 1AA. So I think he's the guy that could be all over the place.
Hannibal wrote this before it happened, so he had Carson Wentz on the long shot list as well,
and
he was. Now, here's the other two guys that he's got on the long shot list. One is Jimmy Garoppolo. He says it feels like the 49ers could hold on to him. Doesn't seem like the better option will come along for them, and then they won't trade or release him. This is the one our buddy Dice on Twitter has been beating this drum forever. He's got Nick Mullins on this list. He said Mullins is a realistic option, but a long shot since it's hard to see the Patriots going after the 26-year-old. Hannibal writes, he was rather pedestrian when filling in for Garoppolo, coming off surgery on his throwing shoulder shortly after last season.
Okay, banged up and pedestrian and available cheap. Sounds like a Patriots quarterback. We'll take him. Thank you.
It sounds more, I'd put him in the realistic category at that point.
You could not have just said it better.
All right, so now I'm going to give you the realistic choices for Ryan Hannibal, and you're not going to like almost any of them.
All right, try
realistic.
Me. Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett.
Don't like it. You're right.
Realistic? Don't like it.
No, thanks.
Andy Dalton.
Oh, kill
please,
me.
Let me vomit some more.
Don't like that one either, still.
My favorite.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, I mean, again, it depends.
I don't know.
Are now, you drafting somebody?
Well,
and
what Hannibal says, both Dalton and Fitzpatrick are similar in that, you know, perfect fit if paired with a rookie selected high in the draft. So you bring Dalton or Fitzpatrick in to be that guy to maybe get him ready.
Fitzpatrick could at least throw the ball. And that to me, needs to now be a prerequisite to start at quarterback in the NFL. So
seems it's helped a couple other guys prior to. May help
didn't
another
seem
couple
to matter
in the future.
Here this past year.
Look, he's a game. No, like, there's the thing, he's got the moxie. He's the gamer. He's the one that they gravitate to. He's got the leadership, and he's got plenty of experience as well. My only thing about Andy Dalton is I thought he – I was more in on him being successful last year once Dak Prescott went down just because of the talent in that Dallas surrounding cast. And Andy Dalton was okay at best last year.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
they had much better receivers than we will have likely.
He was better than Ben DiNucci, but he wasn't great.
God, all right, so back to the
Ben
realistic
DiNucci.
List.
It's a real quarterback.
Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Now, Hannibal adds the tidbit here. Josh McDaniels was reportedly a big fan when he was coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already
he was also a huge fan of Tebow.
Tebow.
So
I could have bet $10 you were going to say Tebow.
Get out of my face, Mariota.
All right, next on the list. Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is an incredible human, and any disdain we express toward him is strictly in reference to his abilities on the football field. We love Cam deeply and wish him well, but we don't want him anywhere near Gillette Stadium.
Done it. He's going to be the quarterback next year. Mm-hmm. Hannibal's right. He's very realistic. He's so realistic it hurts. He's going to be walking right back through that door.
There's someone.
Hey, guys, the whole second year with the playbook.
Hey, guys, look, I'm spending less on my hats. Belichick and me are going to mesh again. There's someone you haven't mentioned, Dale. And I'm starting to think...
I've still got three on my list yet.
One of those three, I think, is the one who's probably going to be the starter, and it's going to make people want to get in their car so they could drive it off a bridge.
All right, the last three on his realistic list, Jameis Winston.
I want James Winston on this team.
I'll take him. I like that one.
Said, and what Hannibal said was, Winston was another player the Pats considered last offseason, ultimately signed with the Saints, similar deal to what Newton got. New Orleans could look to bring him back. But if he becomes available, it seems likely the Patriots will have at least moderate interest.
Best player on this list so far.
So far.
Of this section of the list, I mean.
Of the realistic section.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
In terms of throwing the ball to other people that aren't on your team, absolutely.
Also your team, too.
The next name on the list is Mitchell Trubisky.
I'll take him. Take him.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
And Hannibal says the free agent to be could benefit from a change of scenery. If McDaniels feels he could work with the UNC product, he could make some sense in New England.
And he was the Nickelodeon valuable player.
I am a Trubisky believer.
Thank you, Shyam. Good. I'm getting on board the Trubisky bandwagon.
We're
going to
become Trubiscuits. We can do this.
Trubiscuits, let's go. Trubiscuits, much higher ceiling than Marcus Mariota.
You have got to be kidding me.
I'm
you
not.
Should
that
check
is so
your,
wrong.
You should check the Dragon's Lair for a gas leak.
Nope.
You
nope,
should
nope, nope.
Do something.
I have been huffing glue,
Rich,
but that's
Rich,
different.
Rich, you need to find faith. You should see if there's a God after all and beg him for forgiveness.
Trubisky greater than Mariota.
All right, let me give you the last realistic option at quarterback for the Patriots.
Do it.
Mac Jones. The Alabama product feels like the most realistic option for the Patriots in the first round of the NFL draft, where he should be slotted varies among the analysts, with some even thinking he could go higher than 15. But just because he's available, does it mean the Pats should take him? Only if they truly believe he can one day be a franchise quarterback.
Who, the Cookie Monster? The guy who eats a dozen cookies every night? That's
that
who you want?
And by the way, his body looks like he does, too.
Oh, yeah. Proof is in the pudding. Speaking of pudding, I'm sure he's having some of that, too. I do not want Mac Jones. Certainly not at 15.
Mitch Trubisky, greater sign Mac Jones.
We might have literally Justin Fields and the guy who devours Mrs. Fields go in the first round of the draft.
You're this taking down 10 chocolate chip cookies? Like, you put them in the fridge, and then the next thing you know, they all disappear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And listen, I would be Mac Jones. I'm gonna all right.
Chocolate
two things:
chip, oatmeal raisin, sugar,
peanut butter.
C M&M
is for
cookies.
Cookie. That's good enough for
like,
me.
Aren't you? You're gonna be a professional athlete soon, right, Mac?
Yes.
Well, listen, John Kruk probably had a body by cookie. John Kruk was able to wheel
well,
get around
Mac
those
Jones
bases.
Plays first base in the 90s, and I think he'll be okay. But the game has changed.
I'm gonna put two out there. Number one. I'm going to predict today, here, and now, Mac Jones goes well past 15 in the 2021 draft. Two, and I don't think he goes to the Patriots.
In the 20s. He'll get drafted. Somebody will take him in the first round, I think, and it'll be a bad pick. But yes.
And two, I cannot believe Ryan Hanabla did not say that Jarrett Stidham is a realistic option for the Patriots. Because
he did not. Andy Hart did, but Ryan Hanabla didn't.
Everyone is sleeping on the fact that, you know, the McKenzie Andrews and Kennedy Stidham are besties, and he's working out, and he's going to get a full off season, and Bill's going to give him one more look. And up until last June, he was going to be the starter. Then he got hurt. Then they lost faith in him, and then he succumbed to the Cam magic. There is a legitimate chance Jarrett Stidham is going to get a first team look to start this fall. So that's why I said, if you want to, now is the time to get in your car.
Even if he's dead inside.
In the middle of a snowstorm. There's a chance. And it's going to be Cam Newton, Jarrett Stidham, and I don't know who the and is going to be this fall auditioning for Patriots quarterback, but I legitimately believe they're going to give him one more look.
The New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham.
I would put him third. My top three, if I had to guess who the week one starting quarterback is for the Patriots, Cam Newton has the best chance, followed by Jimmy Garoppolo, followed by Jarrett Stidham. I can't even think of another guy that they would either sign or trade for.
Or draft.
Right. I think it's going to be one of those three guys. And I don't like anyone.
I was going to say, that's not
Give me Winston, Trubisky. Who was the other guy on that list I liked? There's a few guys. Fitzpatrick, I guess. I'd take him. But that really just seems like a what's our plan? We don't really have much of a plan. I would like to have the idea set on, even if you don't win in 2021, you're developing somebody going forward. I would like that part of it.
If you told me they are in love with Kellen Mond, or they're going to find a way to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance and they're going to sign Fitzpatrick, all in.
In. There's an interesting take on what options are going to be for NFL teams and free agency because of the salary cap situation in the NFL this year. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. An hour from now, we've got Kiefer Madness, our week in review. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
I promise we'll get right back to the calls here in just a moment, but I was curious. I saw this tweet by Chase Edmonds, Arizona Cardinals. He says, this free agency going to be wild. I'm just reading it the way it's written.
Sure.
Going to be a lot of really good players take one-year rentals because of the salary cap. Super teams type. In my opinion, we're going to see, though. And, you know, it is entirely possible. Like, in baseball, you know, the Fernando Tatis deal says, we're just throwing the money out there. Who cares? In football, because it's going to be a lower cap this year and because teams are already letting players go to give some cap freedom here, is it possible you're going to see players take one-year deals, make super teams? Look, I'm going to take a one-year deal to go play with Tom in Tampa because, damn it, they're going to win the Super Bowl again.
I think the B and B-plus players, probably. I still feel like the top guys are going to be able to cash in on their teams. Like, don't you think? We keep talking about, like, Hunter Henry and Allen Robinson and Chris Godwin offensively. I think the money will be there for those guys. I think after that, especially if it's guys coming off their rookie deal and they're still young and they know there's another big contract for them, they might say, let me go to a spot where I can put up numbers for a year and then get that one last long-term deal. But I think there'll be pretty big money tossed around still, even this offseason.
Okay, so maybe not Allen Robinson, who we all believe is going to get the bag, and he's going to definitely be.
And it'll be a long term. It won't be a 1 year rental type of contract.
No, but what if you're Kenny Golladay, okay, and you are basically the second or third best receiver available. Now you've had some injury issues. Maybe you kind of load managed it last year a little bit. Maybe you kind of dogged it because you knew Detroit stunk and you were heading towards free agency. But there might be some questions and issues with him. Instead of taking a lower 3 or 4 or 5 year deal, does he take a one-year deal for like $15 million someplace in a prove-it type of capacity, thinking that he can go get 4 for $85 the year after because of how weird the salary cap is? Because if so, now maybe I'll take a flyer on him.
Yeah.
I think the other example everybody's looking at is J.J. Watt. You know, supposedly he's interested in Buffalo. Now,
I picture that as the possibility of a one-year rental deal or a, you know, two-year deal or something to spread the salary cap money out.
Yeah, but I think he would get that in any year. Like, whether it's whether the cap went way up, way down, whatever. Like, he's at the end of his career. He is going to – he's, like, the prime candidate to join or form a super team anyway.
Vaughn Miller is another guy in that category,
yeah,
perhaps.
Right.
Good call, Dale. Good
Those
call.
Old guys, yeah. But I think if there's a 26-year-old free agent and they sign a one-year deal, and then, you know, that you're going to look at that as saying, okay, they're trying to set themselves up for a big payday the following year. But, again, I'd be surprised if – a Robinson or a Henry or what, Shaq Barrett, or even though he's a little bit older, but still, guys like that, if they sign one-year deals, that I would be surprised.
Same.
Now, is Chase Edmonds, is he a free agent? Is that why he's saying this, I assume? Or is he just
that'd be my guess.
Just commentary?
Yeah, no, I don't know that, but my when I read it, my guess was, okay, maybe he's
that's the kind of guy
talking about himself.
Would,
yeah.
Maybe he would take a one-year deal.
I was going to say, and is there any chance, considering that they very well might lose James White, that we could convince him to come to New England? Because I would take that guy in a heartbeat.
Chase Edmonds actually isn't a free agent this season. He's a free agent next season.
Yeah, so he's just – that's just a little NFL commentary from Chase Edmonds. Got nothing to do with him. How about that?
617-779-7937. Phil's up in Maine. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for taking the call.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, hey – you know, when you think of this with the whole idea of Cam Newton, okay, if Bill Belichick for some reason brings this guy back, which people are starting to think that there's a possibility, 40%, whatever it is, you couldn't take this guy and put him on any other team in the league, number one, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and do you honestly think he'd be able to win a Super Bowl with that kind of a team? But yet, we're supposed to believe that if we bring this guy in again and continue to put him on our team, that we're actually trying to win or win a Super Bowl. I mean, granted, Bill won 7 games last year with him. But, I mean, overall, what is the point if you're going to continue to do this? Even if you do improve next year, there's no point in bringing him back.
Well, you bring up a good point. A, if you do bring him back, you've got no chance of winning anything. But maybe it's more realistic to say, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is this year. You've got no chance of realistically being a Super Bowl champion.
Ye of little faith. No faith in this room.
Okay, pick any quarterback who you think you can get and who takes the Patriots from 7-9 to a Super Bowl contender.
Tom Brady. I can't say right now.
There isn't one.
On February 19th, I think it is a bit presumptuous for all of us to say, yet while we do realize there are roster deficiencies and they've got more than their fair share of work cut out for them this offseason through free agency, the draft, or what, however the camps and the Zoom camps and everything else work out, I think it's a little presumptuous to say, well, one thing we know for sure is the Patriots have no shot at a Super Bowl next year. I'm not casting judgment yet. It's too early. It's too despite the quarterback. I'm not
early
doing
enough.
It
I think they have no chance, but I also think that
you certainly don't if you bring Cam Newton back.
No, Cam Newton gives. There's no reason to bring him back. There isn't, because you can either be the team that is trying to build up everything else around him, and you know, be that team like Tampa Bay was. Start to draft well. Start to, you know, do smart free agent signings, and then when you need a quarterback, that's sort of the missing piece. I think the Colts are trying to do the same thing. Maybe Carson Wentz is the missing piece for them, and they kind of move on. But still, Cam Newton doesn't make any sense, because whoever your receivers are this year, mm-hmm. N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, you know, your tight ends, mm-hmm. are you going to be able to find out if they're any good if you bring Cam Newton back again? Like, no. If you play the Jets every week, you might have decent numbers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to allow that.
No, I think
you can petition the league. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
If they, maybe it's like hockey. They only play teams in the division over and over and over and over again. Then maybe. Yeah. But I just think he's going to stunt the growth of all these guys around him. And he's really not the plan for the future. So why not at least give some young guy a crack at it? Even if he doesn't end up being the final answer. Like, say you sign Mitch Trubisky, and in a year or two you're like, no, it's not him. But there's a chance it could be. There's an outside chance.
Or
that it
if
could
you
be.
Trade for Sam Darnold, you could say, all right, he's 23 years old. There's a chance
Cam
he
Newton,
could be your guy.
Like, no.
I mean, I think there's more of a chance it could be Jimmy Garoppolo than Rich does, but if you acquire Garoppolo, there's a chance. That was supposedly Bill's plan all along anyway. He was going to follow Tom Brady. He was going to be the next franchise quarterback. And
See Garoppolo being the quarterback for the next 5 years. It's just a matter of how many games does he start over those 5 years, right? Like, you're going to need a good backup with Garoppolo is the point.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The caller's point, though, about Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Robert Kraft loves Cam Newton. We don't have to play the disclaimer again.
We already played it. We're good for the hour.
One hour, yeah.
My guess is Robert Kraft likes Cam Newton, the person, just as much as we all do. But if Bill says to Robert Kraft, look, we're going to bring Cam back as the quarterback next year, what's Robert Kraft's response?
Really?
Really?
Seriously? Why? What happened? Yeah, because I think Robert Kraft, probably, like you said, probably likes Cam Newton, but you know what he really likes? Playoff games.
And winning.
Going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that week leading up to the Super Bowl and going to all the parties and everything else and being like, this is my team. I got the best dynasty over the last 20 years. Hard not to enjoy that part of it. And now you go to 7-9 and you're like, you know what? We're just going to bring this guy right back. Like, why? What? Like, I knew the year after Tom Brady might be, you know, tough, but.
But eight touchdown passes?
Eight touchdown passes? And then we're going to relive it? Like, I don't know how you can talk to
somebody into
that.
That's a lot of verbal tap dancing that Belichick is going to have to do to go. But in succession of, like, imagine this. You're Bill Belichick, and you have to say to Robert Kraft, like, last year you said, I'm going to convince you why we shouldn't bring Tom Brady back. Okay. And then now I'm going to convince you why we should sign Cam Newton. Okay. Now I'm going to convince you why we should bring Cam Newton back. Like, how many times is Bill... Is Bill going to go to bat for these crazy ideas around Robert Kraft?
I'll give you the only scenario that Belichick could sell that to his owner on. Hey, look, Robert, we just drafted Trey Lance as our franchise quarterback for the future, but he's not ready yet. Yeah. So we're going to bring Cam back. You know, it's a great locker room presence. Guys all love him. We're going to bring him back. You know, he may even start the season, but ultimately he's going to be backing up Trey Lance at quarterback.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's the one. I still don't love it, but it makes sense, right? If you're saying only if you get one of those top four guys, though,
right?
In my opinion, if you get somebody after that, you can't rely on them taking over at any point. So then you might realistically have the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Cam Newton in this scenario start a whole season, which I absolutely don't want. But if you trade up or one of those guys falls, like you say, okay, fine. You know him. He's definitely got a lot of NFL experience. I think players look up to him. Maybe they can even learn something from him. But these other guys don't want to be trying to catch passes from him, and you certainly don't want him after, you know, week eight still taking snaps for you.
Mike's in Holden. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, fellas. How you doing today?
Good. Great.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, I keep hearing, you know, Mariota, Trubisky, all the other guys. Nobody's bringing up Gardner Minshew. I mean, people dismiss him, but he's had 37 touchdowns and 11 interceptions the last 2 years. Jacksonville did him dirty last year by benching him because they were tanking. Why are they not talking about this guy? He's under $1 million the next 2 years under your control. Then what? You have to give up a third or fourth round pick to get him? And don't forget, Belichick is buddy with Urban Meyer. So what are your thoughts on that, you guys?
Love it. Love it. Love it.
I mean,
love
you could
it.
Do worse.
Love it.
I don't think he's
yeah, Cam Newton would be
special,
worse.
But
all right, with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, right. Cam Newton would be worse. I'd rather have Minshew.
So we don't even want to talk about personality and all the marketable things that come with Gardner Minshew. The swag, the looks, the fact that he would, you know.
Because Belichick doesn't want any of that stuff.
He's got confidence where it counts, and I'm not just
Magnum
talking
Magnum Dom.
All right.
But more.
Sign him up. Sign him immediately. More, whatever he wants.
More
whatever he wants.
I'm sorry. I'm five, but every time that drop.
Yeah, it's great.
John. Okay, but more to the point. 37 touchdowns, 11 interceptions over 2 years. Everyone just completely discounts the fact that this guy is, what's he going to love sitting behind? Trevor Lawrence is starting day one because Trevor Lawrence is going to be an absolute certified stud. They have Mike Glennon. There's your perfectly capable backup. Why would you just sit? I mean,
a backup.
There's a backup in terms of, like, if you have to start him for a game or you have to have someone come out and take, you know, kneel down on the ball.
Yeah, so what,
don't forget Jake Luton.
Yeah, and they have Jake Crouton. Why wouldn't you want to have –
I would rather trade my fifth-round pick for Minshew than Mariota.
I would trade a fourth for Minshew and take a flyer on the fact that he's less than $1 million. He's a gamer.
He could throw the ball.
And draft somebody.
I know I'm hung up on this detail of throwing the ball, but I don't know why you keep harping on that. I know it's silly. It's a silly thing.
You know, you can run for touchdowns too, you know, Rich. No, maybe not.
Okay, so 37-11 he went for over the last 2 years. There was a slight upgrade in receiver talent last year in Jacksonville, but still, that team was a disaster. What if Gardner Minshew actually had a couple, if they spent money and they didn't have to worry about the quarterback position, if you draft somebody with a Gardner Minshew or bring in a veteran backup, you give yourself a safety net, maybe you develop someone in the process, and what if you find a diamond in the rough with this guy? How do you lose? And was it Mike and Holden? He pointed out, you've got the, like, maybe Meyer says, okay, Bill, I'll sweetheart you this guy because he's just going to be riding pine with me the rest of his 2 years here, so I'll give him to you for a fourth.
Right back to the Patriots calls with you guys coming up in just a second. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
How far can Jameis Winston take you?
To the Super Bowl.
Are you crazy? To the Super Bowl?
I don't see why it's so unrealistic to think that Jameis Winston can't bring you to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Why not?
Because I think it's foolish.
Who wants to eat a W?
That guy.
Christian Fourier on OMF suggested Super Bowl could be in the running if you add Jameis Winston to the roster. Now, Keith likes Winston more than I do.
Tampa Bay was 7-9.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay was 7-9. They got rid of Jameis Winston and won a Super Bowl. So maybe a team that's 7-9 gets Jameis Winston, and then they win the Super Bowl. It's like reverse math that way.
Nope.
Give that a whirl.
Not buying it. I'd take a playoff run. I think a nice playoff appearance would be nice.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Steven's in North Conway. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Doing great.
All right, my
good.
Man.
Okay, here's my take on what I think is going to happen. Let me just throw out two names there. Jeff Hostetler and Phil Sims. Those were the two those were the middle-of-the-road quarterbacks that Belichick was under. And what I think is going to happen with this 15th pick, because they're not going to get a top pick, and I think they're looking for a middle of the road guy that's not going to make mistakes. And I think with that 15th pick, I think Belichick is going to shape this defense. And when you have guys like Lamar Jackson and Mahomes, and now Allen in your division, these guys can run. I wouldn't be surprised, and I would be thrilled if they loaded up with linebackers that were active. And build the defense, and then your quarterback, middle of the road, if he puts up 20, 24 points a game, that might be enough. He's not going to be in the top level, but maybe he's in a position right now he's not going to get what he wants. So why not revert back to those Giants teams in the 80s that were just awesome? Thanks, guys.
Dale, the caller's name was? It was Mike, I believe, in North Conway?
Steven
in North Conway. Okay, that's the smartest caller that's called into this program today.
Jeff Hostetler and Phil Sims.
Both still available. We'll see if they can.
Well, they're unsigned at the moment.
Well, they have to go through COVID protocol as well. They're unsigned at this moment. Hostetler,
both
top
Super
five.
Super Bowl champions.
Hostetler, top five, if not top 10, power mustache in the history of the NFL as well. Honest to God, he just won on pure stash power alone in that Super Bowl. But I argued with Andy Hart last Sunday on the Tangway and Hart show featuring me, not Tanger. And I brought it up last week with you guys. This is the plan. This is exactly how I believe Belichick is going to go about it. He's going to hope that they can get to 24 points, and he is going to invest heavily across all fronts in the draft and through free agency on defense, because that's his calling card. That's his legacy. That's his trademark. Then that's the way he's going to go. He's not just going to say, like, well, I don't have a quarterback. But, you know, the smartest thing to do would be to get a premium wide receiver and a premier tight end, have no quarterback, and then hope we can, you know, score 30 points once every 4 weeks, even though, again.
But would you say, like, this strategy quarterback to win on defense with Sims and Hostetler might have been a little bit different when you were allowed to play defense?
It could have been, but also when you have, I mean, Lawrence Taylor didn't defend passes. He just threw the fear of God into the offensive line.
Which you're also not allowed to do. You can't even hit the quarterback anymore. I just feel like, I know we saw a good Tampa Bay defense, but even then, like, go back in there again. They were giving up points still, you know, and I just think, yes, I'm with you. If like Micah Parsons, who we've brought up a bunch, the best linebacker in the draft, if he's there, great. I don't want to overextend at a quarterback because you're desperate for a quarterback and then you're passing up a chance to improve your team. Whatever you take at 15, or if you move up, has to be a starter, like has to be a hit, has to be a guy that is good for his entire rookie contract, and then hopefully you extend him from there. But I don't know, taking a page out of the late 1980s NFL, I don't know if necessarily that's the answer either.
I would be just as not surprised. I would be just as nonplussed, and it would be just as Bill Belichick to take a corner like I suggested the other day when we were discussing my EEI piece, Armchair General Manager, and I said, you know, could see J.C. Horn, could see Surtain, or even maybe Caleb Farley at 15. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick trades the first-round pick, classic Trader Bill, moves back late first round, picks up another second, and then it's like he grabs like a defensive lineman, maybe like Asante Samuel Jr., and then addresses offense later, maybe a quarterback, maybe another wide receiver. Why would that surprise you guys? You can't pretend that it would surprise you because that's what Belichick does.
Listen, and I'm not mad at that. I just think the caller's kind of simplifying things, being like, it's just defense, and you can win with a middle-of-the-road quarterback. Like,
you can't anymore.
I think that's wrong. Like, the final four quarterbacks this year were Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen. Where's the middle-of-the-road quarterback? Like, what are we talking about? That's not what wins. Yes, you can pluck the Nick Foles here, Peyton Manning the last year he was with Denver.
Jared Goff. You can make
Did Goff
Super
win
Bowl
the
with
Super
an
Bowl?
Average guy. No, but
Did
he was there.
No, but we're talking about winning it.
I understand, but like,
but how good was Brady in Super Bowl 53? He made like two good throws.
Okay.
Now it's Tom Brady. It's
but
the legend
Tom
of Tom Brady,
Brady. Though.
Everybody relax.
So now they can win it with anybody all of a sudden.
No, he had a legendary performance against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
But middle-of-the-road quarterback play is not a formula to win.
Not anymore.
You need either an elite defense, the best running game in all football or whatever to also have that. Like, I don't think that's what you're shooting for. You're not like, hey, let's get the next Phil Simms or Jeff Hostetler.
Brian's in Natick. Hey, Brian.
Hey. So my thought is, how good Belichick is at filling in the positions he needs and pulling out the talent of players that he brings and gives chances to, how much I feel is his Achilles heel is going to be that quarterback position where he's been lucky with Tom Brady, where how many quarterbacks could have done the same thing Brady did while being there, and trying to find that next replacement is going to be the hardest thing, I think, of his career to even pull out to show that he can do it back to back.
Isn't it? To find that quarterback? Because you see it all the time.
Teams have been trying to do it for years.
Oh, forever. And it's such an inexact science when you look at the college game. You're like, oh, this guy's got to be good, right? And then you take him in the first round, and then he sucks. Like, mm-hmm. If they could figure it out, every team would have a good starting quarterback, or at least every team wouldn't have invested in so many different guys over and over and over again. So, yeah, it's going to be really, really difficult for Bill to do. And he made it more difficult for himself this year, I feel like, by trying the entire season, right? They went 7-9, so they're picking 15. If they lost a couple more games, all of a sudden they're picking higher up in the draft, and it's a little bit easier to find your next quarterback.
Steve's in Braintree. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Good, thanks. Hey, I was just calling about the Jameson Winston, get your thoughts. I look at Winston, and last year at Tampa, threw for 51 or over 5,000 yards. He probably led the league in yardage per game and threw 33 touchdowns, right? So
yes.
That was him. The reality, I don't know much about him. Is he not a leader? Is he sat in the locker room? Obviously, we know he threw 30 interceptions, but wanted to get your take on, you know, why they'd even go after him last year. Because obviously I think he throws a better ball than Newton does. But I'm just curious.
I think he does. I think some of the knock on him is he's maybe a bit immature. Now, maybe he's sort of figured that out. Maybe a year as a backup. You haven't heard a negative thing about him in a while, but there was a laundry
list. Haven't really heard
stuff.
Anything about him in a while.
Yeah. No, been quiet.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of Florida State, there was a lot of immaturity issues and some off-field problems with him. His last year with Tampa, he just threw a million picks. Like, that was sort of the negative on him. He threw a bunch of pick sixes. That was a talented team, as we know, and they didn't go very far. But he could throw it. He's definitely one of the 32 best quarterbacks. Like, he should be starting on a team, and I think he will this year.
If he were here, would he be that middle of the road quarterback you're talking about, or would he be higher?
I think he would probably be middle of the road, but I think he at least has the ceiling to go higher. That's sort of a, hey, Josh, figure this guy out.
Yeah.
You know, like when Brian Daboll took over for Josh Allen, mm-hmm. that was a below average quarterback. But now all of a sudden he's a great quarterback. So I think Jameis Winston at least has the ability to be a great quarterback. Hasn't shown it yet, but it wouldn't shock you. Like if he went to a team, or hell, if he just stayed in New Orleans and Sean Payton coached him up, they keep Michael Thomas, they keep Kamara, it wouldn't be crazy if he had a really good year.
Sean Payton wanting to hold on to him potentially, if it would be difficult to wrest him away from the Saints, that should tell Belichick enough that he's worth taking a flyer on. But there's going to be some coaching up. Like, it's not just like he's got a laser rocket arm, so in comes someone who can throw a lot of touchdowns. I think there's going to have to be a ton of work between the ears on Winston. And I just think that's an issue the Patriots don't want to have. They have so much they need to focus on. Having to teach Jameis Winston not to be a knucklehead and be careless with the football is something the Pats don't have the luxury of time to work on this year.
Do you want a smart guy with a bad arm or a dumb guy with a great arm?
I'll take the smart guy with a bad arm.
Hmm.
Or a good guy with a bad arm as opposed to a idiot with a good arm.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. John's on the cell phone. Hey, John.
Hey, Dale. I was just calling to agree with the guy from North Conway. 1,000%. You want to get back into the playoffs immediately. The shortest route to do that is beef up the defense. If Micah Parsons is within grasp, you do everything you can to get that guy. He's the perfect Belichick linebacker. Move number two, you sign a big free agent, be it J.J. Watt or Shaq Barrett, somebody along those lines. Move number three, you get Dante Hightower back here, and you've got the best defense in the NFL right there. You keep Gilmore, you keep Jackson, and why don't we get that the backup quarterback from the Jets who used to play for the Ravens? I forget his name. He had a pretty good game against the
Joe
Patriots.
Joe Flacco?
He had a good arm.
Dude, your plan
there
started great Flacco. And then went right in the trash.
No, can we
Holy
stop
smokes.
These?
He starts out with Micah Parsons. I'm all in. If you get Micah Parsons,
me
great.
Me too.
And time now all of a sudden you're signing J.J. Watt and Joe Flacco?
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Arc tape, February 19th, 2021, 12:04 p.m. Joe Flacco to Patriots call.
Oh, my. That
and he
call,
didn't even
that was
the radio's
was,
back.
That it was call great
Jets
until
backup.
Joe Flacco.
He should have at least said the guy who won the Super Bowl with the Ravens. Like, at least kind of prop him up. He's like, who's the guy, the backup with the Jets? Joe Flacco.
Basing it off
that's,
what he
that's
did
how far
the
we've
Patriots.
Fallen, by the way.
That's
how far.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's all go hang out Friday night. And, you know, I'll bring some food. We'll bring some tunes. And let's just all give ourselves hepatitis.
That is not a plan.
What in the name of all that's good and cool?
And J.J. Watt makes no sense here. I don't need a one-year deal in. For an old DN. Like, give me some young he's guys not. There. The Micah Parsons plan is great. If he somehow is still there at 15, I'm all for it. You need to improve your defense. There's no doubt. Even though I still think offense wins in the league now, you can't have a disaster. You can't not stop the run at all like they did this year. How many career games did they give up? Cam Akers and Zach Moss and all these guys. So I'm in on that, but every other part of his plan I thought was not great.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Greg Hill Show had a bit of a scoop today involving winter sports teams in Boston. It will lead us as well into a discussion of what we saw last night from the Bruins as they get ready to head for Tahoe today. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.